All right, Luke chapter number 17. Sorry, I was getting suited up here. Luke 17, starting in verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, that song that we sang tonight, because you live, Lord, we can face tomorrow. Lord, this world has no hope. Just thinking about our children, and so often challenged of what kind of world are we leaving them. But because you live, all fear is gone. And Lord, I know that you can oversee those things. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. Lord, that encourages me. Lord, I pray as we look at this passage here tonight, Lord, help us to evaluate and look into our own life and be thankful for the things that you've done. Lord, help us to use our voice to thank you. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I would say this is a familiar story. It is. This is not, a lot of times in the book of Luke, we'll find parables. Parables are a story with a heavenly meaning, maybe taught or said to maybe those that weren't really followers to not understand, and those that were, well, oftentimes didn't quite understand, and the Lord would have to explain those things. But this is a real story. These are real events, and we can tell that by some of the interaction that we have here. This is real interaction, people really interacting with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we have here? We have 10 that are lepers. We're familiar with leprosy. As we look at verse 13, it says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. First, as we see these 10, there was a call for mercy. We've said it before, but I do think it's worth repeating for the context. The significance of the disease of leprosy. I thought it was interesting as I was reading this passage. Again, I've been trying to just hang on every word of God and really try and figure out what it means and what he's trying to teach us. And, you know, the Bible reminds us that every word of God is pure. And it's there on purpose. You know, often, you know, we go through life and we could maybe say, well, that's excessive. We don't need that. Or I wish there was more. For the Word of God, it's perfect. And so when I read this over, I try and really, when I look at one story or a thought, I really try and evaluate every word and try and put myself in the story. And in verse 13, it says, and they lifted up their voices. As we are familiar with leprosy, leprosy was a disease that would take people and make them outcasts. They weren't allowed to be with the regular population of people because the disease was so contagious and also deadly. So there are colonies or things, and as Christ is walking through, he's passing through Samaria, Galilee. It doesn't tell us exactly where this is. He was, as he went to Jerusalem, I'm not sure if he made it all the way there, wherever, he was in his travels and on his way, and there was some that were part of this leper colony, and they were, and just as the Bible says, and they lifted up their voices, it wasn't that they were yelling at the Lord, but they had to lift up their voices because they were outcasts. They weren't worth the general population. They weren't around everybody. They weren't with everybody else. So to get the Lord's attention, again, kind of funny, to get the Lord's attention, we're never off the Lord's radar. Let's remember that. But to get the Lord's attention, or to acknowledge that they needed his attention, they had to lift up their voice and shout a bit, because, again, this disease separated them from everybody. I thought it was interesting, the call for mercy, and it made me think about that. Why mercy? What is mercy? Mercy, God, show me mercy. Mercy is not getting something I do deserve. So I wonder if in their mind, and I was just, again, why ask for mercy? The two things I thought of when I read this passage, the two options I feel like were one of two things. Number one, they disobeyed the law and got leprosy when they shouldn't have. And now they're asking for, Lord, would you almost forgive us of disobeying? Maybe they were around people or do things. Hey, I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to. And Lord, show me mercy. Or number two, acknowledging the mortality of this death or this disease, because the natural progression of this disease was death. And Lord, help me, if you could, don't let us see that because of this. People suffering from the skin disease of leprosy were treated as outcasts. There was no cure for the disease. Today, it's a little bit different. Back then, not the case. There was no cure for the disease, which gradually left a person disfigured through loss of fingers, toes, and eventually, listen now, limbs. This is a disfiguring, this is an ugly disease. So the cry for mercy is maybe, Lord, we messed up. We shouldn't have gone around that, because, again, it is a transmitted disease. Or number two, Lord, because of this disease, this is where we're going to end up. Sam, can you get me a bottle of water? But they're crying for mercy. Lord, please don't give us what we deserve. Leprosy is a, unfortunately, it's a picture of sin. Say, why unfortunate? Because that's the exact same thing that we're like. There we are, outcast from that which is right and good, being God. Debilitated. If left by itself, there is no cure for the sin disease outside of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? And gradually sin will disfigure you. It'll mess up your life. So as we read through and we look at these lepers who have the disease of leprosy, maybe we can imagine ourselves for a moment as sinners in need of a Savior. I think it'd be a good thing for those that are in a mess of sin to do number one, lift up their voice and cry out to Jesus for mercy. Unfortunately, by the time we get to the end of the passage, there's reasons why, well, I don't know if there's reasons, but there's excuses why we don't. And we're going to explore that just a little bit here tonight. The name of the message is Healed and Thankful. Number one, there was a call for mercy. Number two, I love this, verse 14. And when he saw them, who's he? That's Jesus. And he saw these lepers. He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Why would he do that? Well, hold your hand in Luke chapter 17. Go back with me to Leviticus chapter 14. For healing, that's where they would have to, proof of healing, that's where they were going to have to go. It wasn't the CDC that allowed them or prevented them from being around people. It was the priest. It was the law of God. Hey, let's just remember again, when you got sin in your life, you're ostracizing yourself. The natural way of living a sinful life is to is to separate yourself from all that is good and right. That's what sin does. It's a divider. It doesn't bring people together. It divides. So Jesus, seeing these 10 lepers, or these lepers here, he sends them to the priest in fulfillment of Leviticus chapter number 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying in verse 1, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest." Go see the priest. Why would he send him to the priest? I love the story, because in the story, as they're on their way, they're healed. But that's what's going to happen. "And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of the leprosy be healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water." So much to that, we won't really necessarily get into all of that. But please understand, for the cleansing of the leprosy, there was a sacrifice. Jesus is saying, "Hey, I want you to go see the priest." As these are walking towards the priest, the Bible says, in the process they are cleansed. Can you imagine that? Well, let me, again, it's not like all of a sudden the tickle in your throat is gone. Leprosy would gradually leave the person disfigured without fingers, toes, and eventually limbs. There's one-armed Jack walking to the priest, and immediately, as Christ does, "And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed." I don't know if the limb grew back. But it just reminded me of when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I walked away, I was cleaner than I had ever been. Because my payment, the payment was paid in full. Once again, can you imagine that? As a leper. Maybe there was a, again, I just visually think about it. Homemade crutch for a missing foot, and all of a sudden, for the first time in a long time. Could you imagine? All of a sudden you look down and you feel a tingling in a finger you haven't had in. Imagine. No one could take glory for this. The only person that they could glorify was God Himself. Not one of those lepers could say, "Look at what I did for me." And oftentimes I wonder in our salvation, if we view our salvation, "Look what I did." In doing so, it creates an attitude of ungratefulness. But as they went, they were healed. As we go back to Luke chapter number 17, the Bible says in verse 15, first we saw a call for mercy. Secondly, as they went, number 3, in verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed," see, he saw that he was healed. Again, I wasn't there, but I have seen pictures, and it's ugly. It's not pretty. And to be healed from that, yeah, there's going to be a visual representation from that. And when he saw that he was healed, just one of them turns back and with a loud voice glorified God. I don't know why the others didn't. It doesn't tell us why. I mean, maybe they were so excited they just wanted to get to the priest. You know, we often think of the worst, right? But the Lord does draw attention to the thankfulness of one. So there is one is walking towards the priest or moving towards the priest. All of a sudden he sees that he's been healed. What does he do in verse 15? Turn back and with a loud voice, the same loud voice that called unto Jesus for mercy. As they lifted up their voice and said, Master, have mercy on us. Here, one now uses that loud voice. And what does he do? He glorifies God. Made a big deal of it, a scene, if you will. Look at verse 16. And fell down on his face at his feet. He didn't just, from a distance, thank you, Lord! No, he ran back to him because the Bible says that he fell down at his feet. And now he has a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And fell down on his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. I was sharing with the staff, I think, I don't know what day it was. It might have been this morning. Kind of all blurs together. Was Philippians chapter 2 this morning? Yes, thank you. Kind of blurs together. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. There's one who had been healed from leprosy, and what is the first thing he did with his voice? Was glorify God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And I shared with the staff and reminded the staff this morning that one day, whether people acknowledged it here on earth or not, they're going to kneel before the Lord and confess that He is God. There's going to be no arrogancy. There's going to need to be no pride. There's going to be no atheism. There's no more Buddhism. There's no more Shintoism. That's all gone. Every single person is now a believer that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not that they get into heaven, but they believe at that moment. Why? Because they're seeing it. They're going to see the train. They're going to see the throne. They're going to see all of it. And you say, well, you know, that's when I'm going to give my 2 cents. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Not when you're standing on nothing. And we look at that passage and go, yeah, one day God's going to get the glory that he has deserved. But my just question is, if that's what he deserves, shouldn't we be doing that today? Shouldn't that be what our voice ought to say on a regular basis? Shouldn't our tongue regularly confess to the Lord Jesus Christ and glory to God the Father? And I was just thinking about that. And then it brought me to the passage with the lepers. And here one, the very first thing he does after he's healed from the Lord is just glorify God. I just wonder how many things God does in our life that we just keep walking and don't stop to turn around and acknowledge, God, you did that. You did that in my life. And I want to glorify you. And I want to use a lot. This isn't a whisper. This isn't, I hope no one hears me. This is a public acknowledgement that God is who he says he is. Hey, that's what heaven's going to be like. Again, we talked about the other day. If you don't like singing, heaven's going to be awful. If you think you're the cat's pajamas, you know what? Heaven's going to be a rough go. Say, cat's pajamas? I don't know. Better than sliced bread. Something like that. You know what I'm saying. Or maybe you don't. Hey, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 30. Hey, here's some beautiful verses. I was taken with Psalm 30. Psalm 30 and verse 11. Say, what did it look like that day when that leper was healed? I don't know, but I think Psalm 30 is very close. Look at verse 11. Thou hast turned me from my mourning into dancing. I don't know how a leper walks. Maybe there's a dragging of a limb. And all of a sudden, I'm just saying, mourning turned into dancing that day. Grown men holding each other's hands, dancing around unlike they've ever danced before. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Hey, what a hope is there for a leper? None. Just that death date shows up soon. Tired of suffering. What hope is there for a sinner on their way to hell? None. But then when you go from that leper to being healed, when you go from the sinner on his way to hell to now a destination of heaven, there ought to be some turn from mourning into dancing, where sackcloth is turned into gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, he says. And not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. You know what Psalm 30, verse 11 and 12 are? It's Luke 17. It was someone that was walking this way in mourning and met the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they're given gladness. And what do? They're not silent about it. They just shout for thanks and praise and glory to God. Psalm 103. In verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Say, oh, how could I forget how good God has been? I don't know. But there were some guys that were walking that were just healed, and they didn't think to give thanks. How about in our life? Who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I just got nothing to be thankful for. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Back to Luke chapter 17. This leper, first thing he gets a chance to do is use his voice to glorify God. What's it going to take in your life? What would it take? Where would the Lord have to bring you for you to use your voice to glorify him? Publicly, out loud. Bible tells us in Luke chapter 17 that this one that came back was a Samaritan. As we know, the Samaritans are half Gentile, half Jew. They don't get along well with the Jews at all. But Brother Parrott, every instance I've seen of Samaritans in my Bible, woman at the well, the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. And there's one out of a group of 10 that come back and say thank you. And the Lord makes a point. We don't know his name. We don't know if he was tall or short or fat or rich or how many kids he had. But it just tells us this. And he was a Samaritan. There's something about see if I can portray this. There's something about being just at odds with the Lord and then the Lord showing you mercy and grace and you just so appreciate it. Not that I don't want my kids to grow up in church and be sheltered from the world of hurt. But when one is around the world of hurt and gets saved from it, just seems like there's more appreciation. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because you just don't know how good you have it, right? Maybe you realize you just don't realize what it is that you do have. Maybe for a Samaritan who is always fighting for someone to show him kindness and love and healing, just overwhelmed them. In verse 17, as we conclude this passage, the Bible says, "And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Out of the 10, why were 9, I don't want to say unthankful, but how about this, not thankful. Can we say that? You see the difference? I feel like unthankful is like outspokenly unappreciative. There were 9 that just did not thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter number 50 and verse 23. Psalm 50 and 23. Bible says, "Whoso offereth praise, glorify me." Psalm 50, 23. "And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, him will I show the salvation of God." You know, it just seems like that's kind of what happened here. Healed him from leprosy, and then he said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." It seemed like there was an extra little touch there at the end. Did the other guys think, or the other people think that they deserved the miracle? Psychology says this is why people are ungrateful, because there's a level of self-importance, a level of vanity, arrogance. They say this, there is an unquenchable need for adoration and approval. That's secular psychology of why people are unthankful. And I look at that and I go, Seems pretty accurate to me. Why, as Christians, are we, again, not unthankful, but why aren't we thankful? Is God not doing things in our life? Maybe there's some level of self-importance that creeps up. Maybe a level of vanity or arrogance. An unquenchable need for adoration and approval. And I'm going to just look at a few verses here. Go with me to Romans chapter number 3. Hey, we don't want these things in our life. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" You know, some people just don't believe what God is doing. There's no acknowledgement of it. They're going through day-to-day life, just not connecting the dots. For us as Christians, we should not be like that. It ought to be real easy to see God in everything. Knowing what we know, is God not involved with every aspect of our life? He is. So this can't be for us. Maybe there's some that say, "God hasn't done anything for me. Everything I have in this world is by my own hand." I've heard people say that. Psalm chapter number 3. In verse 5, it says, "I laid me down and slept. I awaked and the Lord sustained me. Hey, even in the simplest of things, like what? Brother Baird, did you take a nap today? Did you get a nap? Yeah, sure. Do you know that while you were sleeping, the Lord sustained you? Right? Even in the simplest of things, does God watch over us? You know, without the Lord's hand in keeping all this working, we're in a lot of trouble. I'm so glad that the laws and principles of science and God maintain. Even while I sleep and arise the next day, you know that the Lord watched over you and protected you, even in the simplest of things. So to say God hasn't done anything for me, did you wake up this morning? Well, yeah, I mean, I do that every... Do you understand that that was the Lord? Or maybe this, maybe we get so used to God's mercy. Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. The Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It'd be a shame if we got used to God's mercy. What is it that God has done regularly in your past that you've just kind of grown accustomed to His goodness? Are you one of the nine just on your way to go see the priest? Even though God just healed you. Or done whatever it is that He's done in your life. See, if I were to stop every single time and to, I would never get anything done if I simply thank the Lord for every breath. I understand that. But somewhere along the line, we've got to acknowledge and thank God for who He is and what He does. Or else we will become self-important, vain, arrogant, and unquenched need for adoration and approval. That's what becomes someone that is not thankful. Let's not get too used to God's mercy. Let's make a big deal of it. There's some that hold grudges against the Lord. Like somehow He's done them wrong. Jeremiah chapter 29, in verse 11, the Bible says this. I know it's a familiar passage, I go to it often. Psalm 29 and verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Please understand that God's got a plan for your life, and it's not of evil. The Bible reminds us that every gift from God is good in James. No, the Lord hasn't dealt you a bad hand. You cannot hold a grudge against God because only God does good things. Now, we may not understand them, but be careful your inability, again, inability to understand doesn't steal your thankfulness. We have a dog at the house. And I'm telling you, every time we put food in that bowl, it's like the first time he's ever seen food. He could be anywhere in the house, the minute that pebble hits that metal bowl, he comes running, his tail is wagging. He's excited, thankful, wolfing down his food. Man, shouldn't the blessings of God do that to us? Make us just want to praise Him and glorify Him with our voice. Hey, be careful as Christians who've experienced so much of God's goodness that we not get too used to God's mercy. that God would have to say, hey, shouldn't there be more of you here?
That's good. You know, we all have different platforms and all the things that we interact with. I just want to encourage you to maybe tomorrow, over the next few days, when God shows himself and does something, whoever's around, somehow share that with somebody. Just for God's glory. Not use the word I, but let me tell you what God has done. And glorify God with your words. Whether you share something on Facebook or with your neighbor or your fellow worker, it helps us when we verbalize those things to be watching for and appreciative. I don't think the other 9 guys that walked away weren't thankful that they had been healed. But one acknowledged it. And in our group, we ought to acknowledge it to give God glory for it. It seemed like he was pleased in the passage with that. So let's do that in our life, okay? On a regular basis. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight. Maybe. Say, I didn't get to share mine. Go home, share it with your family. I'm telling you, if you found a fingernail in your hamburger, you'd be, listen, look at showing pictures on Facebook, right? So I know that was gross. But how about when God does something good? I just want to bring on the Lord. I want to tell the whole world how good God is. And we do our best to criticize. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for your mercy. Lord, as I looked at this passage here tonight and kind of wondered about what it was about mercy in their life, Lord, I know exactly in mine. Lord, I deserve hell. Thank you for not giving me what I deserve. Lord, as we looked at last week, by the grace of God, we are what we are. Lord, thank you for your grace. God, thank you for working daily in our life. Lord, help us to use our voice, our words, to publicly acknowledge, to publicly come back and praise your name. God, watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. Lord, again, pray for these circumstances of Rhonda having surgery tomorrow and Mrs. Parrott on Friday. Thank you that things went well with Phil today, and Lord, just continue to help him to heal. Lord, we sure do appreciate all that you do for us. Lord, forgive us for not saying so. Lord, again, watch over us now. Bless the rest of our evening. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.